But I thought we would really delve into it a bit more today and just try and gain more from it. So perhaps I'll just read it through. Maybe perhaps someone else, because I'm on the amplified and it gets to be a little bit. Could you read it through, John? Psalm 91.
Just unmute yourself, Rosemary, and then speak away.
I didn't realize I was muted, so you didn't hear anything I said then.
No, we did, but I just muted everybody because of the background noise.
Okay, that's great. So John's just going to read Psalm 91. So I think we just have one reading of it, and then we'll just go over it. And yeah, okay. Yeah.
This is from the RSV. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your habitation, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge of you, to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Thanks, John. So different versions have different words. Some say secret place. And in a way, I prefer in verse 1 to say he who dwells in the secret place. And all of us on this chat right now, we have the living God dwelling in us, and we are his tabernacle and we are his secret place. He's dwelling in us through his Holy Spirit, and just as we are his secret place, he is our secret place. And the whole thing of this is to connect inside of us, not looking out. He is there, of course, God's everywhere, but connect inward into that secret place where the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling within us, so that we can hear what he's saying and just know the presence of God. Now, apparently Moses wrote this psalm. I thought it was David, but apparently Moses wrote it. And it says that he dwelt in the midst of the dark cloud. And in that dark cloud where Moses went up, remember, he ascended up into the mountain, and the dark cloud came upon him. And that place is a place of holy concealment. There is a place in each one of us where there's this holy concealment of communication, where we can just be real with God, lift up our hearts to him, and know that he is with us and hearing us. I'm reminded actually of when King David was when he'd gone away from, this was when he was still running away from Saul, and he was in Ziklag. If you remember, he was in Ziklag, and David and his men had gone somewhere else to attack some army. But while they were all away, their own camp had been attacked, women and children taken away. And so when the men came back with David, all of their families had gone. And of course, this created a sort of a mutinous atmosphere amongst the men towards David. But what it said was that David went away, he went aside, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. There is a place of strengthening ourselves when we're not looking outward, we're looking inward to the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, who's in us, into that secret place where we can find that encouragement and that comfort and that word that is made for us in that moment of time. And in that secret place, we connect with the eternal God. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that the eternal God lives in us. And for some strange reason, we don't explode on our beds, you know. God has made it so that we're able to connect with him in that secret place. It's also in an ascended place of rest. This is contained within the Hebrew word, that secret place is an ascended place of rest. So we're not going out, we're not in a place of chaos, we're not in a place of this, I'm talking about our inward hearts, we're not in a turmoil, we're not in anxiety or fear, we're in that ascended place of rest. And it reminds me of when Jesus with his disciples was on the Sea of Galilee, and the waves were literally, these were seasoned fishermen, they knew the Lake of Galilee, and they knew its different seasons, and they knew the type of weather that they had experienced for many, many years while fishing. But on this night, I actually believe it was more of a demonic thing, a demonic storm, but nevertheless, the waves were rising right up. Their boat was going vertical and then crashing down, and they felt for sure this is gonna finish us off. But Jesus was lying in the boat asleep. Now, he had obviously, all his life, I imagine, had discovered the secret place of the Most High, that ascended place of rest. Because we're not looking at the circumstances, but we're hearing the word of God that he has spoken to us in previous times, maybe even in that minute, and we're saying, Lord, you are bigger than this storm. Lord, you are bigger than this sickness. Lord, you're bigger than the fear or the anxiety. You are God eternal. And we latch on to that life, the word of life, that he has already spoken to us. And we comfort ourselves, and we really lock into the word of God that he has spoken to us. So when the storm comes, we can speak to the storm. If there's fear rising up, if there's anxiety, whatever, we can speak to that and say, Jesus is in control. The living God knows where I am. He knows what's happening in my life, and I just yield to him. And I think what I also want to just say is that let's be careful how we speak at this time, all the time. We were mentioning yesterday about having careless words where we just say stuff. Maybe we're just used to saying it. Maybe it's just we've heard something on the news and we just repeat it. Or we've heard something from somebody and we just say it again. And it's the words, our words. God has ordained our words to carry power. And they're either for life or they're for death. And we have to take hold of the fact that we don't just speak words. The scriptures say that we will be held accountable for every careless word that we speak. Don't speak careless words. Even if you're just having a chat with your, you know, with a member of your family and you're so used to each other, you still are mindful of the words you speak. So that what comes out, remember when Moses said to the Israelites, they stood on six tribes on one side of the mountain, six on the other, and he said to them, choose life. One is blessing, one is cursing. We can, even if there's no cursing in our hearts, but what we're saying is negative. If we speak negative words, we're going to receive. We're going to receive back that the negative words that are carried, they will come back. And so it's so important. I'm very clear that it's very important that whatever we say that from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we can be mindful of what we say. We can get into the habit, actually, of maybe thinking a little bit more before we speak. So that the words we speak are encouraging. They are scripturally based. They may not be scripture itself, but at least the spirit of them is contained in the scriptures. And we speak those words of encouragement, those words of life. You know, when we say about somebody, if we're speaking about somebody, we don't have to speak words of death over them. We speak words of life. No matter what their situation, no matter where they are in their stage, we speak words of life into them. So that all that we are doing is releasing the life of God. Constantly release the life of God in our words, the scripture says, what you sow, you reap. So if we're going to sow words of life, we reap words of life. Our words change the atmosphere around us and around our sphere of influence. So we can definitely go and speak these words of life and health and strength. And whatever word that we receive in that secret place are the words that we can speak out. And because of this, especially the times that we're in right now, I mean, this obviously holds for all time, or whatever situation we're in. But right now, we're in a situation where if we're not seeing, we're hearing what the enemy is doing. And this situation right now is not from God. It's what the enemy is doing. But God is using it for life. God is using this for life. And so I think wherever we go, whatever opportunity, even the smallest opportunity, use it for life. Use it for speaking encouragement and goodness. And I want to tell you what comes when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. There are about six or seven things. If we go to the very end of Psalm 91, it says, verse 13, okay? We shall tread upon the lion and the adder, okay? This is because we are dwelling in that secret place. Tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. And the feet that the angels have taken charge and preserved us, and we're walking in his way, this is what happens. I will set him on high because he knows and understands me. I will never forsake him. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him with long life. I will satisfy him. I will show him my salvation. Those are the blessings and the truth that comes from dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. We are then the head and not the tail. We are then those who speak life and not negative or words of death. We speak life. And we ourselves are covered in a way. We are cocooned. I'm not saying that nothing will ever come our way. We know that sometimes stuff comes our way. However, in that place, God walks in it with us through it. And in that place, we see the salvation of the Lord. We all saw that amazing, I just was so touched my heart, that testimony of that Irish pastor and his bag of crisps and can of Coke. I mean, it just joyed my heart as it did all of you. It was just so beautiful because you can just see, I mean, who, you know, nobody needs a, you know, packet of crisps and a can of Coke, but he just said, oh Lord, I just love one of these. And God heard, didn't he? And that intimate knowledge of God for each one of us is what spoke to me from that whole testimony. I barely even thought to himself, this lovely Irish pastor, that, oh, I just love it. You know, I barely didn't even maybe, you know, it was just something, if I could, this is what I would have. And God said to him, you can have it, my son. It is my joy and my delight to give it to you. And so that comes from that place, doesn't it? I mean, God is grace in every situation, we know that. But that beautiful place of intimacy where we lock in our hearts so that we can ride the storm. We're on top and not underneath. We're not those who are overwhelmed. I'm not saying we don't struggle. There may be certainly situations where we struggle, but nevertheless, we can be strengthened and know, not just hopeful, but know the strength of God, know the way of God. Hear even what God might want to tell us for what's coming ahead. He does that. He, in that secret place, we are locked into the very life of who God is. And so this psalm, I mean, there is so much, isn't it? There is so much of not only protection, which we have in him, but there's so much of God's promise and God's provision and God's life and the way that we are kept in the midst of a storm. And I think that's the whole thing, that when we are kept in that place of rest, it's the rest, isn't it? Living in the rest of God, you can always, you know, I think you can take on anything. Anything can come your way as long as we're living in the rest, our hearts resting in him, that brings the power, that brings the shalom, that brings the life. And in that way, we're able to share who he is with whoever God may bring our way, whether online, whether in person, however. It's that shalom that this world is desperate for right now. I mean, I've been quite amazed at, we've been in touch with someone else who is desperate for just shalom, desperate for peace. And life is overwhelming, and she quickly unravels at the smallest thing. But we have that in us. And what God wants is that we just, whoever we are, just as Phil said, we each have our own way to communicate. And therefore, God brings to us the people whose hearts he's opened to our way. The way we would share, the way we would say it. Otherwise, he'd send them to someone else, wouldn't he? So the fact that he sent them to us means the way we communicate, the way we speak, is the way that this person is able to receive. And so just rest in that. Rest in the knowledge that God's got you covered. God's got, has put within us those words of life, using who we are to communicate them with the whosoever he brings our way. And in that, we can really walk in the power of God. We walk in his power. We walk in his life. We walk in the knowledge that we are ready. You know, the whole of the armor of God. We are ready. We are prepped. We're ready for who comes our way. Because we're dwelling in the secret place. We're taking in his word. We're communicating and worshiping him. We are honoring him. We're allowing him to speak into our hearts and lives so that we make sure we're in alignment with who he is. And then this is a powerhouse, chaps. This is a powerhouse that when we speak with the authority of God. We speak with the power of God. We communicate through the Holy Spirit of God because we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. So it's not just something for our advantage, and of course it is, because we receive all the good things from God ourselves, but it's for those out there who are in desperate need right now to know what is truth, who is truth, how do I get there? And there are, you know, I mean, we're not knocking on doors because we can't do that. But the thing is that God will bring to us those that he has prepared for us to speak to. So we rest in that as well, don't we? We don't have to strive in any way. We just rest and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Even though we may be grounded, we say, nevertheless, send me. And God has his ways of sending us, even in when we can't go anywhere. We are still sent. We are still able to communicate. We're still able to connect. And I would really encourage all of us, no matter, you know, we go from David's situation in Scotland, a bit of an extreme situation, but hey, God's made it for you, David. There we are. Or, you know, speaking to a neighbor if we're able, something online, something on the telephone, whatever, even delivering the goodies, Graham. You know, there is something, somebody who is desperate to hear about Jesus, desperate to, so that we can impart what God has given to us in that secret place into this world right now that is crying out for who he is, crying out for peace. So continue. I know you are. So I'm saying to you, continue to dwell in that secret place and really be open for God to use you in the most unexpected ways. I do think this is the day of the unexpected, the day of the what we would least expect to happen, or the you know, the most unexpected person will come knocking on the door, or will somehow we will communicate with them and share the good news in our own way, the way God has made us to be. So that's it, beloved. Be encouraged, I hope. And just let's continue to dwell in the secret place and from there, from that secret place, impart who God is to whoever he brings our way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.